To preach today, speak today on what I see in 2023 and the very near future. I don't often say this, I don't talk about it much, but I'm supposed to say it today. The Lord called me a prophet in a vision in the early 1980s. Brother Kenneth Hagin had an afternoon service every day, and when he was away, he would get speakers to come in. I had just returned from Russia. And he asked me to share that week. On Friday of that week, I fell under the power behind the pulpit. And the Lord started talking to me. And he said, see where you have fallen. I did not see him. I saw everything he talked about. I had been an editor for Brother Hagin, Brother Sumrall. I did a couple of books for him. And Brother Sumrall was trying to get me to come to work for him. He said, we have plenty of preachers. We don't have enough editors. So... As I fell down in that place, I saw a typewriter and a platen, and I saw paper roll out and fly up. And the Lord said, that phase of your ministry is over. And he said, you will write books, you'll write your own books, and anything Kenneth Hagin ever asks you to do, do it. For you are joined to him through eternity. He said, see, you will work with him through eternity. He said, see where you've fallen. Now I'm down there fallen. He said, you have fallen where he stands and preaches every day. He said, I brought you to the feet of the leading prophet in the land when you didn't even know there was such a thing as prophets. And I brought you here because you'll walk in the same offices he did. I don't claim to walk in the same anointing he did, but the offices of prophet and teacher. So I went to Brother Hagin with it, and he said, yes. I said, do you think that could be? I could work with you for eternity. Yes, yes. And I gave him all of it for him to judge. And he said, now you can tell part of it. And sometimes he'd have me come up and tell it. But don't tell that part about the leading prophet in the land. He didn't want me to say that. But I could say that now because he's gone. And so I felt the need. I know the Lord dealt with Brother Hagin sometimes that he needed to say that. I felt the need to say that today. What I see in 2023 in the near future might not be what you see, but you have the right to judge prophecy, and you should. Yes. Kenneth Hagin always told us, don't you believe everything I say just because I said it. You go to the Word. Make God's Word your final authority on everything. So in a chapter, Thessalonians, which we will go to later, and that chapter... that book of Thessalonians was the first one written to the church, and it was written for a certain reason we'll talk about later, but it particularly talks about things of the end. It talks about the rapture. It talks about the day of the Lord. And then there is advice given at the end there, and at the end, this is one of the advices of 1 Thessalonians 5:20, despise not prophesyings. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. The New American Standard 95, do not despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. We don't judge the prophet, but we have the right and the responsibility to judge what comes. Everything that comes from God is pure, but it goes down through the pipes of people. And sometimes people, you know, the prophecy or whatever they do picks up a little bit of the person. It just does that. So you have the right to judge prophecies, and you will judge what I say today. You'll decide if you'd agree or you don't agree. Rick Renner, I watch Rick Renner and learned so much from him. And he was talking about judging on one of his recent television broadcasts. And we go by that, judge not that you be not judged. And he said, you have to judge. You make judgments every day of your life. You just don't be judgmental. And I know one time there was a man, and God had used him really to expose something. And then after that, he kind of got the idea that that was his ministry to expose everybody and where they were wrong. And I heard Brother Hagin say to him, that was right what you did, but you don't want to go into that way. He said, you don't want to obtain an old critical spirit. So we don't have a critical spirit, but we do have the right to judge what we hear in the way of prophecy. So many prophets are going to come forth. They are in the end time. And I think that's why in that chapter about them, he tells you, hold fast that which is good. You know, listen to it. Judge it by the word. First, I want to say where, and I want to show you where I believe we are on God's time chart, where we're living. So if you'll turn to put up that chart of years that I sent you, bless the Lord, it's over here. There's lots of charts out there, all kinds of charts, but this is the simplest one for me to understand. And it comes from the Jews. This comes from the Babylonian Talmud, Sanhedrin 97a. It's been in the Talmud forever. It was told to Moses when he went up on the mount, you know, with God, and the Lord gave him the written word, the written Torah, but he also gave him an oral Torah. And the oral word was passed down from Moses, orally, from Moses to Joshua and on and on and on and on. So this is what he was told. He was told that God gave to man stewardship over the earth, you might even say, a six-day work week. He had worked 6 days. But in this chart that God gave, a day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is a day, as God sees it according to Psalm 90 and also according to Peter. Now, these are divided into three sections. The first 2,000 years are called the days of chaos from Adam until the giving of the Torah. When the Torah, the written word, was given, then 2 days of the Torah, and then at the end of the fourth day, the Messiah was to come. The latter days, or actually what the Bible calls them, are the end of days. Anytime when you see the last days, the Hebrew Bible is going to say the end of days, and it means the end of the six-day work week. And the last two are to be called the days of the Messiah. Now, the Messiah, there's a footnote. It's so interesting to look at this. In Sanhedrin 97a, there's a footnote. The Messiah was supposed to come at the end of day 4, but he didn't come because we weren't ready for him. But we know that he did come. And so these last 2 days have been, we would call them the church age, 2,000 years. It's been 2,000 years since Jesus came. Oh, it's up here. It's been 2,000 years. And then the seventh day is the Sabbath, the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. And there is a period, a seven-year period. I'm not going to go into all the business, but everything's by sevens with time. And there are periods called Shemitah cycles, and they are seven-year cycles. And so there is a Shemitah cycle. There is a seven-year cycle, at the beginning of which the Lord will come for the rapture of the church, and then we will go with him to the marriage supper of the Lamb. We will come back on white horses. Oh, it's so exciting. Bless the Lord. Now, that's where we are. We're right at the end of the end of days. We're right here at the end of days. Bless the Lord. In 1919, 10 days before the first victory campaign, Victory-thon began on Rosh Hashanah, 1919, the beginning of the year. God really sees years like he sees years, beginning at Rosh Hashanah. 10 days before, I was at Brother Larry Ollison's church. Yeah, I saw them there. Ooh, what a night we had. Dear God. And the Lord came upon us, and he spoke to us about change. You're going to enter a period of transition. And then I saw transition, you know, that's the last part of pregnancy. And when you start in transition, you are not stopping. You are getting a baby. At the beginning, you can wash your dishes. You can finish packing your little things. But when this starts, nothing else can stop it. You're getting a baby. So we are coming to the time of great change. Great change. Did you ever see such change as we saw in 2020? Great change and into the transition period. Now, what I see happening is this. And I texted Terry about it, Terry Pearson's pastor, Terry. And I said, what I see is God is going to show out. He is going to show out. I mean, he is going to do things that everybody knows God did this. And she texted me back, well, I'm glad it's in his court. So praise God, it's in his court. You see, the day of the Lord is coming, and the day of the Lord means he's not bound anymore by Adam's lease. We're almost to the end of Adam's lease, but he can move unhindered legally because he's at the end of Adam's lease time. He's going to show himself out in undeniable ways, in blessings and in judgments. One of the judgments that's coming, and I believe it could be this very year, and that is the Ezekiel war. The war in Ezekiel 38 and 39. Now, let's turn in our Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 38, verse 1. I'm reading out of a Hebrew translation, but it's pretty near King James. 1 through 3, we'll begin. Now, isn't it amazing that all those years ago, when Ezekiel is with the captivity in Babylon, God showed him things that are going to be happening maybe next week or whenever. And the word of the Lord came unto me saying, Son of man, the way you say that in Hebrew is Ben Adam. And he always addressed Ezekiel as Ben Adam, son of man. Set thy face toward Gog of the land of Magog and the chief prince of Meshach, Tubal, and prophesy against him. Now I believe that Gog is an evil spirit. It's Satan himself. He's going to show up again at the end of the 1,000 years in another Gog-Magog war. God is not against the peoples. He's against this evil spirit that's been in the heavenlies, Satan, having to do with nations. Son of man, set thy face toward Gog of the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. Now, if you put into English how it is in the, Rosh in Hebrew is head. So if you said this in Hebrew, and it's Prince Rosh Meshach. There are princedoms over nations, and we know that. We know that from the book of Daniel, where we have the prince of Persia and the prince of Grecia. And I don't have time to talk about it. I do have a teaching what God showed me about the seat of Satan, how it was in Jesus' time over a city named Pergamum. But it changes. He changes. He's not in hell. He's going to hell. Satan's going to hell, Isaiah. But he moves about his headquarters over certain cities in the earth. In this teaching that I have called the seat of Satan, the Lord showed me how he moved it over different places. He moved it over Berlin. He moved it over different places, and then he rules down through here. Two-thirds of these scriptures are prophecy. Most of them have been fulfilled. But we're going to do what Peter says. He says, pay attention to the prophets, because they're like a light shining in a dark place.
3BI, Billy Brim Bible Institute. You can earn your degree with an emphasis in Bible prophecy from one of the leading Bible prophecy teachers of our time. For more information, visit billybrim.org/3BI. Join Dr. Billy Brim and the Worldwide Prayers every Wednesday at noon Central for a time of Spirit-led prayer.
Thank you for joining us today for the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast. You can connect with us on all social media at Dr. Billy Brim, snail mail, Post Office Box 40, Branson, Missouri, 65615, or billybrim.org, 1-800-972-3447. Again, shalom, shalom.